Water District door, here on. Yep.
August 9th.
August 9th, I'll look it up here. Okay, we don't have any.
Yeah, we've got a public hearing on the agenda, just for, in case the public. We advertise it as a public hearing. We're not required to hold a public hearing for a rate increase, but I thought it would be good just to do it anyway and invite the public if they wanted to come comment. That way, whenever they start complaining to Kim, she can say, well, we held a public hearing and y'all didn't show up. Anyway, we do have a public hearing on the agenda, just to start with.
Might wanna check the hall, see if anybody's out there.
A little ball in.
Well, we have held our public hearing, and we'll move on to tab, consent agreement, tab one.
Make a motion, we approve the consent agreement as presented.
Second.
Motion second to approve the consent agreement. Any further comment? If not, all in favor? Aye?
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign? Authorization, we go to tab two.
Tab two is the revised fee schedule. You know, we talked about this last month, and we had done a little preliminary research on the area rates last month, and I finished that up, and I put it on a schedule for you to look at. Excuse me. First thing I've got on there is, spent some time trying to figure out what we were required to do in order to change our rates. All the different municipalities have to do something different. The privately owned municipalities, they have to go to the PUC and request approval. But we don't, because we're a district, we don't have to do anything. I mean, we don't even have to notify our customers of a rate increase. Now, I think we should, just like we did the public hearing, we weren't required to do, we'll do whatever y'all want us to do, but Kim was talking about maybe putting a comment on our next bill and letting the customers know that your rates have increased. If you want to go look and see, you know, all the fees and rates, you can go to our website, and they're all on the website. But just a short blurb to let people know that the rates have increased. Now, most of our customers that are already paying, the increase that I'm proposing doesn't really hit them real hard. I mean, for them, it's just going to be an increase in rates, and especially the rates as they use more water. But the big increase that I'm proposing, if y'all decide to do it, is just on a, you know, initial meter sets. But anyway, that first thing there, that's just that's from the PUC, and it's stating that we don't have to do really make any notice. The next graph that you see there that's turned sideways, that's just we finished up comparing ourselves to all of the. Ben is the one that's turned sideways in there like this. This is comparing ourselves to all of the area water providers. I've got AMUD, Acton, got Walnut Creek, that's up in Parker County, got Lake Palo Pinto Water Supply, got Parker County SUD, got Johnson County SUD, got the City of Granbury, City of Cleburne, City of Glen Rose, and then we've got the state average for water districts on there. And you can see, you know, we're at 450. The next cheapest one is the City of Glen Rose at 1400, and then Walnut Creek is 1800, and they go all the way up to City of Granbury, $6,266 to get a meter in the City of Granbury. That's a meter set fee and an impact fee. That's what, you know, we're kind of dealing with. And then on the water rates, you can see down where, well, the monthly rates are not all that much more than us. We're at $15, AMUD's at $29. Walnut Creek 35. The City of Glen Rose is at 16. I think the City of Glen Rose has stayed low because we're, you know, so low. And anyway, you know, City of Granbury, even though they'll charge you $6,200 for a meter, but their monthly rate, their monthly fee is only $18, so. We're, as a result, I'm not, whenever we get to what I'm recommending we go up to, I'm not recommending we go up real high on that month, monthly service fee. You know, I think where we really need to concentrate is on the gallonage, and especially the gallonage is over 15,000. But if you, and if you're going down to the gallon, the gallon up to 15,000 gallons, we're at $2.
That's not the wholesale cost, correct?
No, this is all retail rates. I wasn't, you know, we felt like we were pretty close on the wholesale rates. And what we were trying to do was get a little bit of difference between our wholesale rate and our retail rate, because we were only a quarter apart. So yeah, this is all retail rates. You know, we start out at $2 a thousand. Everybody else is around, you know, $5 or $6 a thousand. State average, surprisingly, is at $3, $3.25 a gallon. But I think that includes a lot of West Texas and South Texas, and you know, all over the state, places where water is more readily available than it is around here. But anyway, that's the comparisons that we came up with, comparing ourselves to the area water suppliers. And then if you flip the page, you can see what I've proposed, and y'all are free to, you know, set these anywhere y'all want to. This is more of a policy decision, but I wanted to give us a starting point. And you can see I've got all the different fees that we charge on there, and I've got the current rate, and then I've got what I'm proposing. Now the very first one is just the regular residential meter, and what we talked about last meeting was putting it at around 1,000 and then being double that for the development coming on. Now I chose to the way to differentiate between the tier one and the tier two, I stole the way that the city of Granbury is doing that thing, because it's hard to make it fair. You know, we talked about charging people that were coming off of a well a lesser rate, and then people that were just brand new meters the more expensive rate. And the way that the city of Granbury does it is they actually have four different tiers, and their tier system is based on the date that those new rates went in place. And I've got it here. If you'll see, look at that asterisk. It says applicable to all final plats filed of record in the county on or after August 9th. So what they've done is they just picked a date that they set the new rates, and anything that any subdivision gets filed of record after that date has the new rates applied to it. And you know, I think that's a real fair way to do it. I hadn't really thought about doing it like that, but and then every piece of property prior to today's date will be that was filed prior to today's date will be the old rate, which is increasing to $1,000. If you follow what I'm saying, is that then making that clear? And then if we, you know, 2 or 3 years, 5 years from now, if we decide that, you know, we want to do another rate, then it would just be tier three, and it would be applicable to all new subdivisions, new developments from that date forward. But that's how the city of Glen Rose is doing it. And I've got a copy of this.
Oh, you're probably interested in, you pass this around. This is a copy of the way the city of Glen Rose, I mean city of Granbury, they have four different tiers, and they just make them effective to the developments after that date. And you know, the way I look at it is up to now, you know, we've been planning for our water supply for X number of potential customers out there. All the customers that when Friesen Nichols first
first sized our system, they looked at Somerville County and they looked at all the subdivisions and saw how many potential customers we had, and they put an expected growth rate on there. And so we sized our system for all the people that were living here now, plus a reasonable growth pattern. And so as a result, you know, the taxpayers in Somerville County paid for the size, the capacity that we have now. And that all changes when you get, you know, new subdivisions coming in. And from the date that those developers announced those new subdivisions, it you know, what we would be saying was, y'all caused us to increase our capacity down at our treatment plant and to our water supply, and this is the way that you know, they pay that they help pay for the cost of that increased capacity.
That increased capacity means within, and the ones who are like large.
That's right. But over time, as these subdivisions, you know, like I said, right now we've got, it's not a lot that's coming online, but it's, you know, it's a fair amount. Where is that?
Isn't it large increase you've ever had?
It is. You know, we've got 539 lots that are fixing to be under development, and that, you know, that's another 1,500, maybe 2,000 people in Somerville County, and they're all going to be on our water because that's the only water that's going to be available to them.
I have a question on the county subdivision rules. Is it 5 acres? The minimum? Because somebody could just sell off 5 acres to an individual, but what's the rule when?
The rule when is if they split their property more than twice. If they just cut it in half, if they give up half of their property to their kids, that does not constitute a new subdivision. But if they cut it into three pieces, then it triggers the subdivision rules.
Okay.
And I would say that we should go by that.
Yeah.
Whatever the county subdivision rules are, or whatever the city subdivision rules are, that we recognize those properties as being a subdivided piece of property.
Why is there a $50 deposit, even you're showing it currently? Why are those separated like that? I'm sure there's a reason.
It's, you know, the deposit is not our money. People put up their deposit, it goes into account. It just
is an escrow account?
It goes into it. Is it an escrow
account? It's a separate account.
It's a separate account.
Is it by law we have to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have to keep, yeah, it's not our money. It's,
you're right. Yeah, we're just holding it for them.
We're just holding it.
And so when they leave and they don't become our customer, we're writing $50 checks back to them?
Mm-hmm. My normal process is I apply it to their last bill.
Bill?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I will refund them any difference.
I got you.
You know, we're not proposing to change that, but we are low there. I mean, most people are charging $100 or $200. But, you know, I asked him how many write-offs we were making because we didn't have enough of a deposit, and it's very few. Mm-hmm. Very few.
Oh, the last bill exceeds
$50.
Bill,
yeah, exceeds $50, and they,
yeah,
you know, because once they leave, you can't collect from the next person.
No, I got that. So that gives you buffer for the last bill.
Correct.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
Now, whenever our rates go up, we're going to have last bills that are more than they have.
Right.
Been, but
it's still very few
that.
Right.
That run off and cause us to have to write off that last bill. So we're not asking for an increase in that deposit.
The 15,000 increment, the first 15 is, I think that's what the city does. The same 15, is that correct? Is that a standard?
The current
standard usage fees, those levels, is that pretty consistent?
The city's at $16. We're proposing going up to $17 You know, we...
What I'm saying is gallons. Standard usage.
Oh, gallons.
On the current rates, is that a...
You know...
Is that up to 15,000 standard, or is it 20?
It's all over the board. That makes it difficult to compare us to...
Because at 15 to 20, I mean, 20 is... In the summertime, most people that water anything in the lawn are going to be...
Yeah.
Up to 20.
Some municipalities are at 10. Some of them are at 10. Some of them are at 20. Some of them are at 5. They're all, everybody's got something different. You know, we just started out at 15, and I don't remember why we started out at 15, but I think it's something.
That should cover most people that aren't doing any significant wiring.
Yeah, it should.
And they're not going to use that much in their house.
Right.
So elderly people on a fixed income or whatever should be fine.
They should be fine. I was just thinking, if every bill has two different rates, you know, that's a lot of accounting. Mm-hmm. If every bill you had two rates, basically you had the first 50 and then you had to charge them for that extra. Make it easy. What's our average bill?
Well, the computer does it all, so it's easy anyway.
What is our average customer use? Is it...
Golly,
is that under 15, or maybe it ought to be where it'd be easy to...
I've had Kim do an average, and it seemed like it was our average bill was around 20 or to $25 probably.
That was a 12-month average?
I think so.
That's way under 15,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So under the 15,000.
Yeah. I would say our average usage is below the 15,000.
Okay.
And like I say, we didn't propose any changes to that.
Good target, whatever.
When you have somebody that doesn't do any outdoor watering, even a family of four uses about 5,000 gallons a month.
Yeah.
About 5,000 a month.
You know, one thing that we were trying to do is Kim was anticipating, you know, the complaints from folks, and we think that the complaints are going to be mostly from people that are on fixed income. I mean, because surprisingly, we have a lot of people that complain about, you know, the $15 bill, and it's people, mostly people on fixed income. Going up to $17, I don't think is going to hit those folks too bad, but those folks that are on fixed income, I mean, they really budget their water and they don't use much water, and they expect their bill to be, you know,
$20 or less.
And you know, we're those people that are really conservative with their water. We like them to, you know, have the ability to keep their bill low if they choose. Now, if they choose to water their yards, that's a different thing. That means they're making a conscious choice to spend quite a bit of money on water. But the folks that are trying to budget their water and trying to keep their bill down, I mean, this still is going to give them the ability to keep their bill pretty low. Now, one thing that I did do, if you look at, and you kind of have to flip back to this other sheet, I increased that first rate 50 cents. Now the other rates, I went up
a bunch. That's a good lift.
I accelerated the other rates because I think Karen said it in the past. I think you didn't think that we were stepping it up enough. That encourages conservation. And you know, we weren't. And now, intentionally, we were trying not to encourage conservation to begin with, because we started out with zero customers. We were encouraging usage to start with, and you know, we're shifting mode from encouraging people to use a lot of water to, you know, start trying to be more conservative with the water that they use. You know, we're still not getting up to what all of these other outfits are doing. I mean, there's...
No, but that's a 50% increase on everything above 20,000.
It is. Like this, I'll go back to City of Granbury. City of Granbury, they start out at $5.60 and they end up at $9. So they're almost, you know, they're almost double where they start and where they finish. You know, we're starting out at $2.75 and we're finishing up at $5.75. That's a little bit more than... Well, no, it's just almost double. No, it is double, isn't it? So, I mean, anyway, I'm trying to get in more in line with what everybody else is doing with regard to stepping up the cost as you use a bunch of water, and that's just because, you know, people that choose to do a whole lot of water, and they're making that conscious choice to,
right,
to spend, you know, $100, $200, $300 on water in their yards if they choose to. But
what percent of our customers is it, would you guess it's a third that $15 a month is important to them?
I would say a third, yes.
Because, you know, we could leave it at 15, leave that 17 at 15, and raise everything else, and that would affect them the least. I don't know. We got 1,000 meters, and so you're talking about $2,000 a month for that $2.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that. I mean, we could leave it at
$15. The water rates themselves are going to generate a lot more than that $2.
That's a good point.
And I'm just saying, it doesn't make a difference to me, but if it helped people out and minimize the barking.
It will minimize the barking.
I would leave the 15 at 15 then. It would be my pick, unless y'all don't want to.
That's fine. I just kind of felt obligated.
Yeah, you were looking at all of it. I can see how you made that decision. But
then, you know, I started at it. I started out at 20, and Kim said, man,
that's maximum
too much money.
Kim talked me down to 17.
If we felt good at that.
I'm surprised you didn't have 17.
We split the difference.
But if the 15's a big talking point, I would just leave it there, because that's not going to sink swim for us.
Yeah. Well, that'll help. That will help the folks that have a hard time paying the water bills that we have.
Yep.
But we can do that.
The rest of it looks good to me.
And it's like the rest of it, it's just a shot in the dark. I mean, I just threw these numbers out here. There was really nothing scientific about it, other than I just tried to use my best judgment on where they should be. And so y'all, if there's something y'all don't like, just let me know. The late payment fees down there at the bottom, we're proposing going to 10% or $10. And the reason for that is, if we have somebody that pays late on a $15 bill, I mean, we have to go through the motions of sending them multiple letters for just another dollar and a half. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's not enough money involved on the 10% late payment fee. So we've made it $10 or 10%. And that's, you know, folks that are trying to keep their bills low, they're paying on time. This is habitual late payers that just caused Kim to send that bill after bill after bill, because they've got a, you know, a $20 bill and we can only charge them $2 as a late fee. It's not enough of an incentive to get them to pay late.
It's only 4 cents.
Do we have a bunch of late payers? No kidding.
Yeah. Another thing, I'm asking to increase the bulk water rate some. We were at $5 a thousand.
Is that enough to cover your cost of having your people attend to it?
You know, the downside is, you know, we have a small fraction of our bulk water people that come in here and buy water from Kim and go get it filled up at the plant. Now, we're going to change that. We're going to eventually move that fill station to right up here, coming off the well. So it's easier for her just to send people over there to that well and let them fill up. Now, this is guys that are carrying around 55-gallon drums or those 300-gallon totes. But if we raise it to try to make more money out of them, then we're also raising it to the J Mills out there that are coming pulling off of a fire hydrant. And, you know, we make money off those guys because they buy a lot of water out.
Okay.
Contractors buy a lot of water out in the county, and we don't ever
have to handle it.
We don't ever have to handle it. We
so
just read
it
that.
It averages out.
Yeah.
When you have those guys out there pulling it themselves versus what we have to do.
And I'll bet, I mean, what percentage is, I bet, what, 90% is of our bulk water probably coming off the guys out there that are buying, you know, we've got how many meters we got, 5 meters?
Four.
We got 4 meters, bulk water meters out throughout the county that have contractors pulling off. Boring contractors, road contractors, Yeah, so we sell lots of bulk, 90% of our bulk water is being sold out in the county, but this, the reason I raised that was just to get to the, get the guys that are coming in here.
Okay.
How do you control that with a lock? Are these taps locked and contractors have a key or is anybody there?
We put a meter set on there, a full meter set, RPG, everything on it.
Okay.
And then when we install it, myself, the guy, we install it, we take a picture of the face, we know how many gallons it is. And they use out of that meter.
That's still on the honor system out there. I mean, anybody could pull up to one of them.
That's one of my questions.
And now the contractors have the ability to lock it, I think, don't they? Is there a lock on it or is it?
There's a cam lock at the end, which is a, most of them use a cam lock versus the fire hydrant actual threads. And so they use that cam lock that's on the meter, which is more convenient for them. But I mean, Kevin Drive, anybody could pull up a fire hydrant and turn it on.
Yeah. But they'd be stealing from them because the water would flow through the meter and we and the contractor would get billed for it. So I mean they wouldn't have the theft wouldn't be on the water district, it would just be on the contractor. And you know, all your fire hydrants out there, anybody can pull up and put a hose on one and steal water from you at a fire hydrant if they wanted to. We just, you know, it doesn't happen much and people, you know, if it happens enough, people will eventually see them doing it and turn them into it. We get calls all the time. Every month we get a call because there's a fire hose on a meter somewhere that somebody's pulling water off of. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's somebody that's working for us or with us or, you know, I don't think have we had a case of where we actually thought it was somebody stealing water?
Maybe one, but that was it.
Maybe once we suspected that we were having water stolen from us. It doesn't happen very often.
We don't have a meter at that county hydrant, do we? Aren't they just honor system?
Yeah, they are. We have a meter. There's a fire hydrant right in front of the county barn over there, yeah. And the county uses off of it, and where we charge them by the load. I mean, they fill up their...
They keep track of their loads. I see them filling up all the time.
Well, they fill up their sweeper over there?
They fill up their water truck for...
They fill up their water truck, and we don't meter them. They keep track of the load, and you know, bulk water is way cheaper than you think. I mean, they can fill up a, you know, that big water truck, and it's, you know, it's $10 worth of water. It's
right.
it's really not that expensive.
It looks good to me.
How's everybody feel about what Kevin has presented? Everybody good with that, except the $15?
Keep the 15 and phrase it as proposed.
Yeah, keep the 15.
You know, the one thing that I don't have on here that I wanted to ask you about, I've got the, on that residential meter, I have the tier 2. I did not include an upcharge for the 1-inch residential. No, I did. The 1-inch residential will end up at the same proposed rate as the residential tier 2. So it's, you know, I'd rather have a tier 2 1-inch residential because we want to discourage people from using 1-inch residential meters. So rather than that $19.50 that I've got on there, you know, I think that ought to be maybe $24.50 to discourage people from using a 1-inch meter. Very few people leave. No, nobody really needs a 1-inch meter at their house.
What do we usually have?
It's a 5/8. It's called a 5/8 by 3/4, but it's actually just a 5/8 meter, and it's all the water that anybody should ever need.
But what if somebody had an orchard or something like that? They might.
If they had an orchard, I think we would get them for a one inch commercial meter. If it was a
So if agriculture would be commercial?
Well,
yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, if it's agricultural,
make it
for
the same
commercial.
As $22.50 for commercial.
We could do that.
Have
and a tier.
That way, all your 1-inch meters are $22.50.
Yeah, that we could do that if that's. You know, we don't have anybody that's actually buying our water for commercial purposes. Most people that have a commercial, like a...
I think that could change, though. I'm seeing a lot of young farmers come and buy acreage around here, and they're all starting farms and
Yeah. Little
orchards and things.
I would think mostly if that's going on, they would drill well.
Absolutely.
They're more apt to at $450 a thousand than they are at $250 a thousand on our new water rates.
Yeah. Does changing that change all of those again?
Are y'all, Kim just mentioned that if we lower that proposed rate on the monthly rate from 17 to 15, all of those, the one-inch residential, the one-inch commercial, all of them are a multiplier off of that very first rate. They're set up as an equivalency multiplier, so it'll lower all the rest of those rates just a fraction of what that multiplier is. So we'll just lower them all.
That's fine.
As I'll go through and do the math on lowering all the rest of those, but it'll cause all of them other proposed rates for the monthly rate to go down.
Those rates aren't near as important as the usage rates.
That's right.
So that'll be fine.
You know, I don't think your average person, if we don't change that $15 a month, our average user's not even going to notice a difference, I don't think.
Yeah, they're not going to be affected, are they?
Yeah, they're not going to be affected. Who's going to affect is people that are doing lots of watering. And, you know, we learned back in April, I think, that, you know, most of the water we're selling is going out, is, you know, 75% of the water we're selling is going out on the ground. I mean, people are watering their yards with it, and it's going to... Those are the guys that we're gonna eventually end up having to target, and that's, you know, that's
who this
is. It
makes sense when you know, she said that you know, a household of four uses 5,000 gallons in a household. Yeah. You know, that doesn't take long to put through a sprinkler.
You know, Daryl and Kathy going, I know they can kind of complain to us, but they're living up here,
yes,
and they're watering their yard.
Yeah.
About $100 a month, isn't it, on there? Yeah.
I'd have to look at theirs, but
boy, they are,
I watered a lot last month. Mine was $100.
Good, I mean, good ones, so, you know,
yeah.
But well, folks, they're still doing it, so they like it.
You know, folks like them that are in recent developments, that, you know, none of them people over there have wells. All of the, you know, the customers like you and me and we came off of wells, and a lot of our customers are still using their old wells, and it doesn't affect them at all, hardly. But people like them that don't have a well, that, you know, they're having to water their yard with our water, yeah, it's gonna hit them a little bit. They're just gonna have to let their Bermuda go dormant in July and August if they don't want to spend, you know, $200 or $300 on water.
Yep. But it's a whole lot cheaper than it is than going to drilling a well on a new place.
It absolutely is. And it's a whole lot cheaper than if you're living in Granbury or Acton or Cleburne.
Or
Glen Rose. You know, in Glen Rose, it's $5 a thousand. I don't know if you noticed the Cleburne rates, but over in Cleburne, they charge $6 a thousand. From the very first gallon to the last. I mean, they've just got a flat fee in Cleburne, $6 a thousand.
Well, look what it's costing them to provide that water. I mean,
that's true.
That's true.
I mean, it's just expensive water.
It is, and it's expensive because they're having to buy it from A-Mud. They're buying a lot of that water from A-Mud, and that's something else that I didn't even bring up. You know, people expect us. We're way lower than everybody, and we're still going to be lower than everybody after these increases, but people expect us to be a little bit lower because they're paying not only for their water, they're also paying a tax with us as well. So people expect that our rates be low. And I think this is a good compromise that our rates are still going to be low. They're just not going to be ridiculously low like they have been.
All right, we have a motion.
Let me say something else.
Yes.
I don't know if anybody read the Fort Worth paper Sunday, but Kevin has been working on this, and I think Kevin has made a great presentation and put all this together. But But Kevin's been working on this for over a month, and Kim has too. But somehow, City of Fort Worth picked up on what we were doing. Their front page story, Sunday, Fort Worth may raise impact fees on new homes builders. This whole article is exactly what we're doing. I made a few highlights here. It says, under the proposal, the fee of $2,800 for each water meter in a new development would increase to $3,290 beginning next year, and $3,777 starting in 2023. The fee would remain at $3,777 for about another 3 years before the city would revisit the issue in 2026-27. So they're doing exactly what Kevin has put together for us. And then over here, the explanation is it will cost $1.25 billion just to provide water and wastewater system to all the new homes that are expected to be built within the city during the next decade. And that's exactly why we're doing what we're doing, because we're going to have increased fees or increased costs in getting our production deal set up. So I think we're spot on with what we're doing. But I think that there'll be some squeaking about this, but I think we totally justify what we're doing, because it's just what you got to do.
And people are going to make a choice whether they want to dump that water on the ground or not. You know, mm-hmm. And that's the way they can control what they're paying. Mm-hmm. What their monthly bills in there is directly in their hands.
What is our total gallons that we're for everything for the year? I know it's somewhere in here.
I don't think I've got it for the year in here, but I do have, I can tell you what we sold last month.
I just wonder how close we are to the 25 for our limit of what we can sell.
Well, I can tell you that. You know, our limit, our permitted amount is 200 acre feet.
Right, 200.
And last year we used 80 acre feet. And now I think the last time that I got a report, it was 80 acre feet. That was before the city started using groundwater. So it's going to be back off of that 80. It's probably at 70 acre feet out of 200. You know, the improvements that we're making down at the plant with the chloramines are going to conserve on that as well. So that's, you know, that may drop it down to 6% of our supplies. So we're still not, we're not at half capacity with regard to our water permit yet.
If we added the 600, by the time we add the 600, can you estimate what we'll be at toward our limit?
Those 600 new lots?
Yeah, the 600.
Yeah, probably. It's just a fraction. Probably another, if I was guessing 1-3%, it's not that many. I can do the math on it. It's
to sell 1 acre foot.
I'll do the math on it and see.
See that would.
Yeah. Yep. You know, it's really not the 500-600 lots that we're talking about now. It's the potential, and you know, there's talking about articles. Here, I'll mention this article that came out in the Dallas paper last week, talking about this huge project near Salina. You know, Salina, 10 years ago, Salina was just like Glenrose. I mean, we were about the same size as Salina. Used to play them in football. There's a builder now, Salina. Just north of the Metroplex, the tollway, North Central Tollway, finally, you know, it made it up to Prosper, then it made it up to Salina. The tollway just hit Salina up there. They're 40 miles straight down the North Central Tollway to downtown Dallas. And so they're only 40 miles. It used to be difficult to get to Salina because you had to go, the best way to go was up 35, and then you had to go west over to Salina. Now the tollway hit them. They've got a developer that's bought a piece of property, and he's going to put 10,000 homes in Salina, Texas. So Salina is going to be the next Prosper, the next Plano, the next McKinney. So, you know, Salina goes from a town with 2,500 people to probably 30,000 in just a few years. Since, and I'm not trying to scare you, but since, I mean, we're only, the edge of Somerville County is only 44 miles from downtown Fort Worth with the new tollway in place. And now we're making improvements on Highway 67. So the easier it gets for people to get to Somerville County, the more likely that, you know, that's going to happen to us. And it's not really so much, you know, those 500 lots that we've got on the books now. It's, you know, for example, we've talked about Dr. Wyatt's piece of property over there. He's got, was it 1,000 acres? 800 acres? Or he got 800 or 1,000 acres one of these days.
Yeah.
That piece of property is prime to get developed. I mean, some developer will show up and likely to propose 3,000 or 4,000, 5,000.
What we also have to remember is the development we've seen so far is not housing development. It's land development. So it's a two-stage process. The Oscar Rohns and Jimmy Gossons of the world will sell a lot, and then an individual at some period of time in the future will build a house. What you're seeing in the Metroplex is builders that turnkey the deal. When they build a lot, they build a house, and they have to have a meter. So it's really at a different pace than what you're seeing in the Metroplex, in my opinion. It's a much different deal. Just like the one that they did out on 56 Oxford's deal there, you know, it may be only a third built out, and it's 5-6 years old. Instead of, when D.R. Horton buys something, he builds it out very quickly. Much different concept, which requires the meter very quickly, requires all that. This other's a much slower pace.
Yeah.
As far as growth of people in our county.
Yeah, right. I mean, right now it is the way it's been developed.
Yes. Now it doesn't mean that someday that D.R. Horton doesn't come here, but so far it has not happened.
Very few spec houses built here.
There are very few spec houses, yeah. And it may. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, the D.R. Hortons, they require sewer to
yeah,
really develop
really
a lot.
Yeah, we can really get their
And I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen here. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope we don't get a D.R. Horton.
No,
here,
I do too. But who knows?
You know, we can't stop it. And, you know, the reason for setting these rates like they are is so that if that happens, at least that developer is going to help us pay for the capacity that we're going to end up having to spend down there. But yeah, I don't know where I don't know if these guys if the D.O. Horton's going to come to Somerville County or not.
I don't
either. Probably not big enough for them.
I wouldn't think so.
Who knows? I can have the 10. What are they doing out on Boyne, going toward Weatherford? The big ranch there, what, 30,000 acres that they that they're developing?
They learned. Wow.
Yeah.
The Dean Ranch?
Huh?
Dean Ranch?
No, I don't remember. Well, we got managed, I believe.
did we get a vote on the water rates?
No, not yet.
Okay.
You get a motion?
Do we need a motion, Kevin?
I don't think we've even had a motion yet, have we?
No, let me make a motion. I recommend that the Board of Directors adopt the proposed rates with changes that have been discussed. Direct the General Manager to make proper notification to Water District customers and state agencies regarding the rate increase.
Second.
We have a second?
Yes.
Okay, motion second. Any other quick comment? Oh, not many, 45. Then all in favor, aye.
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 Any opposed, same size? Same. It passed. Let it go. Yeah. All right. Oh, my.
proposed tax rate, number three.
Number three, you know, we proposed our tax rate at last month's meeting, and we proposed a rate of 0.129, and that was with a 0.081 M&O and a 0.048 INS rate. Well, we got notified from the appraisal district. This has never happened before, but the appraisal district gave us their, part of the process is Wes calculates the average taxable value of homestead residents in Somerville County. And we have to certify that the rate that we propose does not constitute more than an 8% increase to the average taxpayer, the amount of money that they pay on their home. Well, houses have increased 13% over the last year. So basically what that means is that 13% that they increased took up 8%, took up the 8% of what we could go up if we had chosen to go up, plus another 5%. So what this is causing us to do is it's causing us to actually go down 5% on our proposed rate, on our tax rate. So it's increased so much, we're gonna have to lower our tax rate to lower than what we assessed last year by 5%.
Yeah, it's a bad deal because it means we get 5% less from the power plant.
We needed that to start building the reserve to go out west.
You know, it's really not a whole lot of money. It's just it's about $77,000 is what it amounts to. So it's not a whole lot of money because it's
complicated.
Yeah, it's complicated, but you know, and I tell you what, it's going to happen again next year.
All indications are.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen again next year because most of the increase that we've had in residential home values has happened in this year. Now this is that calculation that he's done was not for this year. It was for last year. It was for all of 2000. Now 2000.
See, the problem you get also, like he went up 20% on everything to stay within the audit constraints because all the comps showed that land, house, everything, and he can by law only. You have multiple rates. You have the market rate, which that went up 20%, but the effective tax value can only go up 10% per year on the homeowner. So he's going to carry another 10 to next year, and then you're going to get another 20 on top of that, potentially. So you're going to be dealing with basically what I would call a reserve that is going to have to be absorbed at some time in the future if the rates don't, if I keep saying rates, if the values don't go down. So this trend upward on values here are going to stay even when the values quit rising because he can only implement 10% per year by law. And so you have carry forward that has to be absorbed in years where it doesn't go up that much. In value, he'll carry, and he has the right terms. I'm not using the right terms, but the market value. Then you have the effective value, and they're many times not the same unless things are equal. Does that make any sense that he's having to carry some of this forward, even if we don't have that kind of increase next year? You will see the same amount of increase we had this year.
Right.
Because he couldn't solve all of this.
By law, he can't. But the law also states you have to still appraise it, mass appraise it at market value, and so he has to carry it forward, and it gets very confusing. Just like this is very confusing.
It is. It is very confusing.
But it's going to be that way for a while, even if the market calms down until he gets things planned out. In the 15, 20 years I've been on there, this is the first time this has happened. That we've had this type of cross the board increases of this magnitude of the 20% range.
Well, it's possible this could go on multiple years for now.
Absolutely.
I think it's possible it could go on a decade.
Unless
if you have a booming market like you're seeing in the Metroplex, it's just a spillover of housing market here. And so goes the Metroplex, so will us, basically, is my observation.
Unless the legislature changes.
Yeah, and who knows what they'll change
toward.
Rising residential values does not hurt the water, help the water district, because our rate is all hinged off residential and our revenue all hinges off commercial. So the net effect is very negative to us over a long period of time.
It is. But the only thing that may help us next year is because of the wholesale price of electricity is creeping up. We're going to have a higher plant value, and even though our rate may be forced down again next year,
they may be going up enough that it offsets it.
They may be going up enough to offset it next year. Hopefully, that's the case. But
it would be sheer luck on our part.
But this is a benefit. I mean, it's a real benefit to the taxpayer out there, because we're being forced down. Because of the tax code.
It's not just us; it's every taxing entity.
It is, but yeah. We're being forced to drop our rate from 0.129 to 0.159. So, it helps the average homeowner out there. It just doesn't help us. But that's the way the law is. We didn't really have to do this. We set that proposed rate, but since we got that number on the average residence homestead, when we ran our ad in the paper, it was going to cause us to put some numbers in there that showed that if we stayed at that rate, it would trigger a rollback. So I thought we'd be better off just changing.
Is the trigger of a rollback automatic, or does somebody have to request
it? Well, somebody has to petition it.
Petition, but all it takes is one person?
I think so.
So you would never want to subject yourself to that.
Yeah, we don't want to subject ourselves to a rollback. And I don't even think we wanted to pub. Now, they could only petition it if we adopted that
right.
0.129.
Yeah, we're keeping it where it can't be petitioned.
If we had have adopted, we could have left the proposed rate at 0.129 and then adopted a 0.259, and they wouldn't have been able to petition us. But I didn't even want to, that was going to confuse people, I think, if we ran our ad based on that. So, if we'll just lower that proposed tax rate to 0.1259, then we can move forward without confusing.
I make a motion we put our proposed tax rate at 0.1259.
Second.
And we've got a motion in second for the tax rate to be set 0.1259. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. No opposition. Motion carries. Number four. Thank you, sir.
We shut them door. We've talked. Let me turn this off.
At 9:25.
Okay, we got a motion second to come out of executive session at 12:29 on the 9th. We're out.
Trying to get those letters.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, if y'all decide to pick them up, I think they become public record. If,
I make a motion we send the letter that was discussed in executive session.
I second the motion. Do we
take a vote?
Yeah, we should hold the
to say to the city.
But we discussed it in the executive session. We said we weren't going to.
But we decided that we would just take a vote and
take a motion, regular motion.
Yeah.
So would you remove the executive session from your motion?
Yes, I will.
All right. Now then, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No opposition. Motion carries.
First thing on the general manager's report is the water line extension update, and you have to skip to the third page of that to see where we're at. We finished finished up County Road, our extension on County Road 2007. Right now, we're over on Bivens, is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's County Road 328. That's a little county road back here behind the amphitheater. We just had one customer down there that's been waiting on water a long time, and we finally jumped over there to get that one. When we finish there, we're going to head over here to 321 and get a little project that's going to get us four customers there. Just the other side of the reservoir over here. But everything's going good. We got, you know, the contractor's still going. It's a good time of year to be putting pipe in the ground. And you know, if you'll see that space down there, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, about 9 more phases that we're really pressing on. And then once we get them 9 phases done, then you know, things are going to start lightening up a little bit for us with regard to, you know, we got to get these done. With everybody, we've got a lot of people wanting water right now on those 9 phases, and then things start getting a little bit easier for us, I think. Next thing is our statement of bank balances. I think we're about, you know, where we should be for the year. We got $2.3 million in the bank, in our general fund. You know, we're budgeted to in September with about 1.8, maybe 1.7. So we're on pace to hit that mark. Next month, that middle account there, the 1.29 million, the interest and sinking fund, will make our payment on that account in September, and that'll get us back closer to zero on that. But we're in good shape financially. Next report is water usage report. The month of July, we sold 10 million gallons. You know, it's a little bit less than we sold last July. Yes, a little bit less than we sold last July, quite a bit less than we sold the July prior to that, you know. It's cooler, and then also, you know, the city's using groundwater in the summer, and so you may not like the fact that they're using groundwater in the summer, but it really helps us out in the summer. But anyway, that's
keep it in the lake as long as we can.
Keeps it in the lake, and it's, you know, we're using our resources to the best of our ability. I mean, one of these days that groundwater may not be available for them, and you know, they'll have to use us during the summer. But anyway, that's the way it's working out. Next,
what's our level of the organic?
We're down thing? just a little over a foot.
I mean, the organic thing we were concerned about.
The TOCs, you know, we took samples. They've been sent off to the lab. We haven't got the results back yet. So the engineers are just waiting on all of the lab results to come back before we start really getting into the designing of the chloramine system. But, next thing we've got is Wheeler Branch report. And you know, the park's still, man, that's the biggest July we've had. I hadn't even looked at this report, but we had a big July. $35,000. You know, last month in June we were down to 29 from 34 the year ago. This year we're up to 35 from 31 last year. So anyway, that's
2020 didn't have a July 4th.
You know, we were cooler, and then also Kim just pointed out we didn't have a 4th of July show. So that's probably you're right. That's about what the difference would be, $4,000 or $5,000. So yeah, I think if we'd have had a 4th of July show in 2020, would have been about the same.
That June last because of COVID. Yeah. Well, look at April. Every month is lower because of COVID.
And then you've got all the rest of your quarterly reports there, and Michael Cody's reports and everything else. That's all I've got.
Okay.
That's it.
And do we have a motion?
So make a motion, we go home.
Second.
Motion second. We will close the meeting at nine.
She's taking care of them.
That may be the longest meeting we've ever had. That may be the longest meeting we've ever had.
I think so.